Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live to tape from beautiful, frigid Glen Burnie, Maryland. Happy Dr. Martin Luther King Day to all those listening. We are recording Monday the 21st. And yeah, fun week for the Caps, wasn't it? But to join me in that, hopefully she had a good holiday as well, is my beautiful, wonderful co-host, live coming at you from Fairfax County Schools, specifically Centerville, Virginia. It's the mermaid memeing mentalist, the wonderful Anna Knox.
Good evening. Yes, and cold is an understatement, or maybe you said frigid.
I did.
My God. I cannot handle when any temperature hits a negative. It's not okay. I don't care if it's negative one. I don't care if it's negative six like it was this morning. It's fucking cold and I hate it.
Yeah. There's a minus sign in front of that. Any good.
It's not okay. So, but I did have the day off and for a good reason, like you said, for MLK Jr. and all of the acknowledgments and everything. Everyone should take their time to acknowledge what an amazing man he was. And, you know, sometimes when you just look back at those speeches, you just have to be floored and moved and motivated and I don't know what, but yeah, so we did not have school today and we actually have a delay tomorrow because it's supposed to be ridiculously cold.
Still.
Yes. So this little mermaid is kind of counting down the days to warmer temperatures and has a screensaver of a beach and I don't know where. I don't care where it is. It's a beach. And that's what's keeping me going. So that's that.
I can't wait for warmer weather. And hopefully the Caps will still be playing hockey. But yeah. How about this weather? Yeah, how about it? You can take it and chuck it somewhere, as far as I'm concerned.
The weather sucks, so does the Caps recap.
Yeah, which is why we're not going to take too much time with it. You all saw it. It was a disaster of disasters. Let's just get right to it. First game was last Monday against the Blues at home. It started well enough with the captain getting his 33rd on the power play, opening the scoring in the first, but then it all went downhill in the second. Three goals in 8 minutes for the Blues, the worst of which I would say was David Perron's goal that put them up for good. Like I said, the third of the game. Just watch the replay on the NHL app. You'll see what I mean. He was basically alone, even though there was coverage in the cap zone. Then they scooted across to the west a little bit over to the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. And, even worse result there. 7-2 loss. Victor Arvidsson had a hat trick. Nick Bonino had two goals, the first of which pretty much defined the Caps' lackluster defensive play. Yeah. If you want the recap of that goal, it was pretty much like the one he scored against the Caps a few years ago. Him and his seven twin brothers, Bonino, 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 scoring. Fun to see. But yeah, yet another lackluster defensive performance, I would say, by the Caps. So again, watch.
But I feel, and I'm just going to say this really quickly. I know we're blowing through this, but between the previous game and the Predators game, not quite sure what happened to the Capitals, but man, This to me was the turning point in Nashville where I really started to get concerned about where the players are mentally, physically, you know, kind of what's going on, because we're not seeing a team that is having chemistry or whatever it is. So this was, to me, I kind of let the Blues game go and was like, okay, whatever. It wasn't great. It sucked. Nashville was going to be ridiculously competitive, and I just did not see it as a 7-2 loss. So I felt like that was kind of just a foreshadow into the next couple of games, unfortunately.
No, and you're right. They looked lost. They looked like not only had they lost their way, but they were lost, period.
True.
So, yeah. Okay, so then a few nights later on Friday, they came back home and welcomed home former coach Trotz and the Islanders. Well, this was a much better defensive effort overall. But as can happen, the wheels fell off in the third. For a brief 5-minute span, the Islanders broke open what was up to that point a nothing-nothing game. And it's actually 2 minutes. 2 minutes apart, 2.5 minutes apart, roughly. Yeah, Bailey got his 11th, and then Cal Clutterbuck, of all people, made it 2-0. Yeah, I know.
I don't hate that guy.
Don't get you started on him. I totally get that. I'm with you there. But other than that, it really wasn't a horrible game, I thought, overall for the Caps. Just this time, for some reason, the offense was dried up. But you know, here we go again. Bad, non-consistent play. Then there was the game yesterday against Chicago, in Chicago, that I still am scratching my head about. It's an 8-5 loss. Caps look out of it for the first period or so. Then they got a few goals. Then they fell behind again. Then they came within one, back and forth. And the defense was, I posted it in the Facebook room, lethargic.
True.
But
I honestly, like, I walked away from this game being kind of pissed that there were fans, Capital fans on social media, that really felt like, because the Blackhawks are, you know, such a terrible team statistically, and that they're in last place and whatever, like, this was going to be a shoo-in. And I don't feel like you should ever go into any game feeling like it's a shoo-in, because it's just not going to happen. And when you have 4 players on the Blackhawks team, you have Kane, you have Taze, Keith, and Saad, there is no reason to ever think that this team is going to remain in the last place because of those 4 players. And sure enough, one of them gets a hat trick and the other one scores, almost gets a hat trick. And it's just, you know, so those players may have started their season shitty, but you know what? The Capitals gave these guys this ridiculous 8-5 win. And my concern is, at this point, when people want to say the Capitals are tired and it's time for an all-star break, well, you know what? The Blackhawks, the Predators, when we play San Jose tomorrow, they've all been playing the same amount of hockey. And so for us to give an excuse that we're tired is a bullshit excuse. And I don't know where the chemistry is, where the consistency is. I'm concerned about that. I'm not even going to put this on Copley and Holtby, because there's no way I'm putting those guys out there, because many other issues.
Yeah, no, I don't blame any of this on the goalies. And you mentioned Patrick Kane. I know somebody who's going to be watching, who's going to be more aware of Patrick Kane. That's Captain Ovechkin.
Absolutely.
3 words: watch your crotch.
Right. I mean, and Kane had it coming to him, but it's like, you know, you don't stick to the balls is like such, it just, that to me is like a, such a rookie move, and it's dirty. And Patrick Kane, he knows better, but you know what? He did it. And Ovechkin, you know, bumped him, helmet off, ready to fight him. Good for him. But in the end, 8-5.
Yeah, so right. It also begs the question, where was that fire for the rest of the game? Where was
right,
that?
The 40 minutes prior to.
The other 40 plus minutes in the game. Where was that? So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think you nailed it. The approach to the game just didn't work. Too much inconsistency. Just, I don't know. A lot of it you couldn't put your finger on, but. Pardon me.
Have my middle finger on it.
Well, and so were a lot of other fans. If you read, but we all saw the game. Just the defense was just horrid throughout.
But was it though? Because it was all defensive support.
The first two games for sure. But this game too, I mean, 8 goals, come on.
Oh, and honestly, when they pulled Holtby and put Copley in, and everyone was like, oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? It's like, well, it's 4-1, you know, it's time. I thought Copley should have started from the beginning, and I got poo-pooed on that and whatever. I don't care. But I thought he should have started yesterday, because it was like, oh, okay, well, they're playing the Blackhawks, who's a good team, but not a great team, not a huge threat. Because we play San Jose tomorrow, and that's a no-joke team. And that's one that, you know, that could be another high-scoring, ridiculous game. If the Caps don't have their shit together, we're going to be embarrassed by San Jose in Washington, D.C. So, you know, it's like, come on. But there was a couple of those last goals in which you have 3 Blackhawk players in front of the goal. 3 of them. Copley looking at 3 players. Where were the Capitals?
That's what I mean.
Nowhere to be found.
And when I say the defense, you know, that when everybody's pinned in the zone, that has to include the forwards.
You're right.
The forwards aren't, you know, I kind of feel like I've said this before, but the forwards aren't doing their job helping out, but certainly the defense isn't really holding up their own end either.
Agreed.
This wasn't so much the 2-on-1 sloppiness that was, that plagued them in the Nashville game. It was just shoddy coverage overall. And again, they just, I don't know. They look like they've lost their way. They have no direction. I don't know what it is. And I'd like to point out something, a tweet I saw, some comments made by Ed Frankovic. That cross-ice pass as soon as they get over the blue line.
Over it.
That's got to stop. That's got to stop.
Agreed.
That shit's got to stop.
Agreed, because you know what? It's, if you're trying to make these, and it is like pretty fancy, whatever, it's not working. It's not working.
No, it's
at
not.
All. We haven't seen anybody execute it to the point where we're like, oh, okay, only Backstrom should be able to do this, or only, you know, Backstrom to Ovi. No, all that's happening is you have players that are, you know, a foot in front or a foot behind where the puck is, you know, being passed, and we're missing it. It's sloppy. It looks like, I mean, it truly did. There was a couple of moments where I thought, God, like this team straight up just looks like they don't even know who they are. Like they don't practice together or whatever the circumstances. And you know, that's not the case. You know that you should be able to move the lines around and feel like, okay, if, you know, if Eller's proven himself and we want to put him with Ovechkin and Wilson, or, you know, just kind of mix things up. Okay, fine. They should be able to do it.
Who's that's off to the third line too?
Yeah, but you know what? But again, are you demoting him, quote unquote, to the third line? But look at what he's done the last couple of games. I don't feel like, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, I am not on board with anyone telling me that Cousy and Oshie are the same fantastic players that they were before they went out with their injuries. Something is off.
There you said it. So you think they're still not 100%, whether it's physical, mental, or both. You think the both of them are still not quite in 100% game shape at this point.
And I will say, there are times that I feel like Oshie has, someone has passed the puck to him, and it's like, oh shit. You know, kind of like rushed. It's, you know, there's nothing smooth about, like, he used to be one that you could watch and be like, wow, what an amazing player. The focus, he's, you know, he knows where the puck is, he knows where the opponent is, he knows exactly what he needs to do. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of times, you know, these missed passes, these missed shots, these missed, I don't know what it is. And Cousy stats, you can't tell me that you can honestly say that 92 is going to rebound to who he was a couple seasons ago, last year and the season before and the season before that. No way. Whatever happened in earlier in the season, he has not come back to be the same person. It's like they both seem delayed. I'm concerned for their game, of course, but aside from that, I'm concerned for just their well-being. You know, it's one thing to, yes, you want to come back and say, oh, we're back to back and I'm going to give 100% and we're Stanley Cup champions. But you know what? If you were injured or if you had a head injury, you need to take care of that shit. You can't, you know, you can't be coming out on the ice and missing things because you're not seeing it the right way because you're not 100%. So no, I feel like 77 and 92 really, really, really concern me.
I totally get that. And that there, you know what, you might have something with that. And you're also not the only one who made mention of that. There were several comments in many of the rooms that said, hey, look, these two guys are a little bit off still and it's not helping. So more than one person also bore that out in the comments. So yeah, that there may be something to that. I'm not trying to make little of your comment. I just don't see it maybe as – I don't have a laser focus as much as you do. And to your credit, you pointed this out as a danger when the both of them were first hurt all those weeks ago. So I don't blame you for, you know, still putting that out there. Like I said, there's probably something to it. It's just little subtle things, subtle differences in their play that can make that difference.
Right. And when you have when you look at both of them and how much they're admired and how much skill and speed, and I mean, just their contracts alone are the reason why, you know, we are proud Washington Capitals fans. But when they come back from an injury, it's like, okay, you kind of expect things to be a little bit slow. To me, it's a red flag when it's a little too much. It's like these missed passes or these shots or this. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe from a Yaskin or a Boyd or some, you know, you'd be like, okay, you know, we're getting there. No, not from a Cousy or an Oshie. You just really just don't expect it. So that's what I've been watching. And then I have been, you know, admiring that Yaskin, Boyd, I just do like a Dowd line, you know, where I feel like, okay, well, younger players coming together, want to give it their all. And they're doing it, you know? So what I want to see is, and I just said it a couple episodes ago, I want to see a balance between the vets and the new guys. And we're not seeing that because we're seeing our vets looking injured and not being able to play at their, you know, 100%. And we're seeing these other guys coming forward and really kicking ass and great. But I want to see it from both sides.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, and as you alluded to, the lineup changes, unfortunately, didn't have the desired effect that the shakeup that was done in the last two games certainly had not the desired effect, unfortunately. So, but if there is a silver lining in all of this, it's, I think it looks like the team has finally gotten tired of losing. And it shows in the fact that they had a players-only meeting right after the loss in Chicago. So I think you're going to see a totally different, totally new team come the next game, which is tomorrow night back home against the San Jose Sharks. So good. I think that's going to be a good matchup. So want everybody watching to key on the first 10 minutes, as I always say, watch their body language, watch how they approach the game, and that's going to be that's going to be how that'll bear out. And that'll be key for the first 10 minutes.
I agree.
It's so, yeah. You know, and that's not, I say that because it can, doesn't necessarily win you the game, but it, can lose you the game.
Right.
Can put you in a hole where if you don't watch out, the other team can take advantage, and pretty soon you're playing catch up. And some teams are better at playing catch up than others, but not always. Not always this team, yeah.
And I think that should be Nikki.
Okay. Yes, and as Anna just mentioned. Now that we've done the wrap up, we're going to segue into our very special guests here. We have two on this evening for the show. The first of which we're going to bring on now. She has an increasingly popular website called Pucker Up Sports that not only focuses on Caps and Bears coverage, and also they have a new Toronto section as well. But also is a unique perspective in women's involvement in not only hockey, but sports in general. So I'd like to welcome onto the Power Play I can't even say my own show, Power Play Point podcast now, Nicole Giordano. Nicole, good to have you on. Floor is yours.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Like you mentioned, I'm the founder of Pucker Up Sports. We are a 100% female ran and operated sports publication. We started our focus with the Washington Capitals. We recently received full media credentials for the Hershey Bears, and we've expanded to Toronto. So I have a team of girls working up there as well. We want to give a new perspective on hockey and the sports world in general. It's been a lot of fun. It's kind of blown up the past couple of months, which has been really great. We've had a lot of amazing support.
That's great to hear. I've spent the best part of the week this past week familiarizing myself with your content, I have to say all of the coverage articles, which of course is the heart of the content. The game coverage is top notch. I'm very impressed. It's very well thought out, well detailed, picks up on things maybe the average fan doesn't get. So, if you're looking for just good content overall, as far as game coverage and highlights and things like that, this is a good spot. So just want to give a stick tap to that as far as that goes. Just want to let you know that I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. I actually have some questions for you with regard to your own perspective. I did go over some other articles. Now I read also that the there was an incident that happened when you were taking a journalism course. Of course, reading your bio, you were a sports journalism major in college. But there was one of your first or the first course you took. There was an incident that happened there. Was that pretty much when you decided that, hey, I have to get out there and kind of change everything as far as women's perspective being accepted in mainstream sports?
You know what? Definitely. Just to reference that article that you're talking about, I did an article in collab with a bunch of other women in the industry. It's called The Truth on Being a Female in the Sports Industry. It's a man's world, and we're just living in it. The incident you're talking about, I had an assignment for one of my very first classes. And after I did my, public speaking, he said, "You have a pretty face, so I think you'll succeed." This is my professor. I got an A on the project, like I mentioned in the article, but I never knew if I got an A because my content was good, because I had a well-researched presentation, or because he thought I was pretty. I grew up in a family that was very supportive. I was always like one of the guys. I was never made to feel lesser than because of my gender. I think that was definitely one of the defining moments for me, that I realized that women in the industry aren't treated the same. It was really eye-opening.
I can imagine. Well, I can only imagine, not being from that perspective, but that's why I think we end up being richer for it, is because we will learn to appreciate a different perspective and a different way of seeing things. Just a couple more questions. What do you see as challenges overall for getting more women involved in the sports world, not just in the sport of hockey, but in the wider sports world, as it were?
Yeah, I feel like it's just allowing young women to feel comfortable to enter the sports industry. I've always felt that I was very well-versed on sports. But I was very nervous to get my opinions out there. It took me a long time after having the idea for the blog to actually come forward and go live with it. It's scary. So I feel like creating a world that's more comfortable for girls to share their opinion would be a huge hurdle to overcome. One of the women that writes to me is actually in high school. She's amazing, extremely talented, extremely hardworking. And I think that giving her a place where she can share her work might be huge. I think that, maybe she'll go forward in the sports industry and not be as nervous as someone else her age because she's had an outlet. So I feel like if more outlets allow young, talented females to write and share their opinions, that'll be huge. And just the support from the male is...
Uh-oh.
Nicole, we lost you for a few seconds there. Are you still there?
Including the acceptance of female in other roles besides journalism. Females are very highly accepted, I feel like, now in journalism roles. But behind the scenes roles that women still aren't deserved. We just covered the Canadian Women's Hockey League All-Star Game in Toronto this past weekend. And there's just so much skill there. And it's just, they're not treated with the same respect, which is upsetting. So I feel like if young women have female athletes to look up to, that'll change things a lot as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that last part, because my last question, this is probably the toughest hill to climb, I would say, as far as women's sports becoming more mainstream. But the reference point I wanted to start with, as far as this goes, was there was that in 2017, there was, of course, the USA Hockey had a dispute with the women's team. The women actually threatened to boycott, and for good reason, might I add, the World Championships for that year, because as I researched this, I didn't know this. I thought they were underpaid. They weren't being paid at all in non-Olympic years.
Yeah,
and that was their main beef. And so they said, look, you know, we're supposed to be professionals here. We're representing the country. We're not going to, you know, go there until we're paid. So there was that dispute. Unfortunately, it was settled in their favor. But using that as the context, I want to lead into my last question, which is, as far as women's spectator sports, which is growing, but there are those that say the economics of it just isn't feasible as far as attendance bringing in money and the economic situation overall. What would you say to those who would make that argument as far as women's sports becoming more mainstream?
So I understand that argument. When you look at things from a financial aspect, yes, you cannot pay these women the same as an NHL player because they're not bringing in the same money. And that makes sense. But these women aren't asking to make that money. They're asking to make a livable wage for the amount of work they put in, which I don't think is out of is, you know, crazy to ask for. I think that we as a society, myself included, we need to give more emphasis to these female athletes because they are incredible athletes. They sacrifice just as much of their mental and physical health every day as the men of the NHL do. And that needs to be recognized. They're incredibly fast. They're incredibly aggressive. The All-Star game that we covered this past weekend, I mean, it was incredibly exciting. Incredible amount of goals scored. Just so much fun. And I think that if we make it known that these games are exciting and we push that women's hockey, America versus Canada, that was a really big event. That really helped a lot. You know, just more events like that, getting it out there, getting people excited about it. And that's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to take one or two people doing it. It's going to have to be a very wide spectrum. And we're going to need big news outlets to get involved. You know, there were some upsetting factors with the Canadian Women's Hockey League All-Star game this past weekend. Media, they didn't open the press box for media in general. If you had media credentials, we were forced to sit in unassigned seating. If someone had those seats, we had to move. So for big media outlets, for us, we were excited just to be there. The opportunity was amazing. For big media outlets, that's kind of a slap in the face. That maybe makes them not want to cover the sport as much. And the people who suffer at the end of the day are those women on the ice who are working their butts off day in and day out. So it's upsetting that even their own league doesn't treat them with the respect that they deserve. So it definitely needs to change.
I totally agree. And as we saw a year later, USA Hockey made a worthwhile investment as that same team, pretty much the same team, came home with the gold. So
exactly,
it is more than a worthwhile investment, I would think. But yeah, it's sad that you know, they're at an economic disadvantage, but I think they can overcome that. And like you said, it's not as if they're being asked to be compensated on par. Just, you know, something of, I don't want to use this term, but something like more like a professional living wage is all they seem to be asking for. So
exactly.
I don't think that's too much. If you're a professional athlete, you're providing a service that no one else can provide at the level that they provide. I don't think what they're asking for is that unreasonable. Sorry, I'll climb down from my soapbox, but do want to remind everybody, this is Dr. King's birthday, so, you know, why not push for equality? And if you don't like it, I'll remind you, hey, I got three daughters of my own, so that's where I'm coming from. that's what I had as far as studying your perspective on it. I love that you came on here and shared that. And we'll do, trust me, we will do everything we can to get that information out. Anna, did you have any any thoughts?
No, I'm just a huge supporter of this idea, this movement, whatever we want to call it in general, because, you know, I'm decades older than Mickey and the other Pucker Up Sports, and certainly not in high school. But I support just the idea of, you know, women being out there and in sports, doing sports, you know, supporting sports, whatever it is, because, you know, there's no reason not to. And absolutely, you know, I'm on board with this. This idea of no one is ever, we're not taking the perspective of bashing males or male athletes or their skill or, you know, the whatnot. But the fact that we're just looking at it as, hey, look, I respect you as an athlete and, you know, support you and your team, but I'm kind of a badass too. So I'm going to do the sport. I'm going to do the, you know, do what I can and support me also. It's that kind of give and take. So that's what I'm looking, you know, I'm all on board for telling my students about this, telling my daughter about, you know, going out and just, you know, because everyone's like, hey, you know, you should get your daughter into ballet or do this. And it's like, well, no, you know, it's kind of crushing on Tom Wilson. Right. I'm like, man, there's a little bit of me in there too. And it's like, you know what, if she wants to go out and play hockey, I'm on board. And you know what, if she doesn't, I'm on board too. But I just don't feel like any girl needs to be told they can't do something. And so I applaud Pucker Up Sports. And I think you guys are just going to kick ass. And I love the fact that you guys have high school females involved. And you know, that you guys reach out, you've got the Toronto group and everything. I think it's just, it's awesome. It's just, it's why not? If it's going to start somewhere, it's going to start here. And, you know, you guys are going to make us proud. So I'm happy to support you.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. It's been so great getting to know you and meeting you, and all of your support. Just, it truly means the world to me.
Awesome.
It can be a rough world sometimes.
Trust me, I've been there on the receiving end of the the shitty news for sure. And I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. I know you have a super early shift tomorrow. So thank you so much. I'm sorry that the earlier episode had a little hiccup. And
oh, no worries. It happens. Technology, well, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we will, but I'll see you Saturday for sure for the All-Star game.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole, for being on with us. If you want to hang out with us, you can. We got another guest on who, unfortunately, has a story of the bad side of those who don't agree with our perspective. I don't know if you wanted to stay on with that or if you had to, cut out, but you're welcome to stay. But if not, you know, thanks again for putting up with our issues before and for being on with us.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, whatever's best for you guys. If you'd like me to stay, I'm more than happy to.
we'll leave it up to you. I know you got, like Anna said, a busy schedule. So, you know, there was a, like I said, we're about to get into a bit of a horror story that Anna personally experienced, unfortunately, because not all guys, unfortunately, are as open minded as the guys who listen to this show. But but speaking of that, we got our other guest was somewhat involved in that. Going to bring him on now. A gentleman by the name of Kerry. He's I'm going to preface this, everybody. don't stop the show now. This is an important story, but don't stop because I'm about to say this. He is a Philadelphia Flyers fan, okay? So we're trying to be open-minded here. Nobody stop tape or anything like that or stop listening. Give this
guy
a chance.
Cue the Darth Vader music.
But Kerry, I understand you were privy to an incident that involved my co-host on Twitter with, I'll just call this guy a jerk. We won't advertise him, but let's have you come on.
Right.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm being nice. I try to be nice, but Why don't you?
I'm from Philly. I won't be nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm your co-host, and I won't be nice.
Yeah, Kerry, let's have you come on. Just go ahead and tell the story. What happened?
Well, I mean, there's really not much on my end. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It all more or less came to be where I came across a tweet on from Anna. She was going back and forth with, I don't even remember what the guy's name was, to be honest with you.
Oh, we won't say his name because
asshole.
No, don't glorify him. But he made some kind of ass comment, like the only reason, you know, guys go to the sports bars or something like that to watch sports is to get away from their wives.
Yeah, is that right? I remember seeing that later. Yeah.
So, you know, so I kindly responded to him, decided to throw my two cents in, and I just said, you know, first of all, like my wife, you know, she doesn't like sports at all. She likes that I like it and that I'm passionate about it. And sometimes, you know, she'll come down, she'll watch a game with me or whatever, but she never, you know, complains or whatever. But anyway, so I responded to him and I started to go into that. I said, you know, you don't speak for all guys. I am totally anti, like, PC. It takes a lot to really piss me off. But, you know, and I don't get offended at all by anything, you know, but this guy just really, really rubbed me the wrong way. And I just kind of let him have it, you know, and then he responded to my tweet. But then he took it back, he deleted it, and then he just blocked me. So it's like, you know, I didn't even really have a chance to, you know, to get into it with him the way that I wanted to.
Right.
So did it start, Anna, but did this guy tweet you directly, or did you respond to him, or how did it start?
Okay. honestly, it was Pucker Up Sports that had a response to the whole guys only go to bars to get away from their girlfriends and wives because we're annoying and we talk too much. I think he ended it with like, and the facts are, you know, whatever. And
I don't know what universe this guy lives in, but just about right. Every cap game that's on, if Mrs. Blue Liner isn't working that night, if she's working the day shift and she's not closing and it's a night game, she's on the couch next to me watching it. So I don't know where this guy's coming from.
Right. Well, and that's just it. So like when I saw that Pucker Up had like, they, you know, they didn't retweet it, but they responded just basically reference, you know, like, this is why, you know, this is why we have this, you know, blog or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, to support women in media, women in sports and whatnot. And so, you know, me being that delicate personality that I have, read this and thought, God, what a fucking asshole. And I kind of went back and forth on like, whether or not I wanted to respond. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to stand back and let this guy, you know, bash women in sports and supporting sports. So I just responded, you know, and it wasn't like really anything big. It was, you know, like when he said something like, and those are the facts is how he ended his tweet. And I said, actually, no, the fact is you're an arrogant fuck. And, you know, like, or an arrogant asshole or whatever it was and whatever. And he immediately responded that he said, yes, I am. And you know what? You're what was it? A homely hag.
Yeah, that's it.
And
real intelligent argument there.
And that's what I said. And so like at this point I thought, okay, I do one of two things, you know, do I, you know, respond and, you know, try to get into this like pissing contest with this guy, or do I take the high road and whatever? So I responded with like a laughing emoji, like, oh yeah, Like, yeah. You're so funny. And he then responded shortly after, obviously you've never looked in the mirror. And yeah. Honestly, it was like at that point, and I remember like my husband saying to me, seriously, just stop. This is exactly what this guy wants. Like, look at his profile, look at who he is and how many followers he has and, you know, what he does and whatnot. Just stop. And I thought, God, you know, but I don't want to. Like, I want to stand up for the fact that I have a daughter that, you know, no way am I going to put up with this bullshit. And I've got female students that I have that I'm like, hell no. Like, you know, you stand your ground. You are just as good. You just be proud in your skin and regardless of, you know, what you look like and all that other kind of stuff and the homely hag comment. And sure enough, and, you know, Carrie sent his message. And at that moment, I thought, God, there we go. Like, here's a guy who doesn't know me, who doesn't.
And not only that, not all guys from Philly are scumbags. So see that?
Exactly. Exactly. and honestly, like, and his, Carrie's comment to this guy in California was brilliant because he did, like, you know, wrote everything like, you know, A, B, C, and D, like, here are the facts, here's what I'm thinking, here's about my wife. And the guy in California was like, oh, I'm not going to answer. Wait, someone's responding. I don't know how to do this behind my phone. And blocked Carrie, yeah. Blocked my friend Stephanie, who asked him what sport he played. And eventually then blocked me about 2 days later. And I just felt like at that moment, Nikki came, you know, I didn't need someone to come to my defense so much. It was just someone to like support the idea that, God, like who that, like if I'm a, you know, 43-year-old female, you know, in Northern Virginia that loves sports and can hold her own and can be, you know, sarcastic and whatever as fuck, and this guy is going to call me out to say I'm some homely hag and that I need to look in the mirror because I'm apparently just some troll and horrific to look at, doesn't say anything to me, but what the hell is it going to say to some other female out there that may not be able to handle this? And so I felt like at that moment I needed to, you know, acknowledge Carrie and say, you know, fuck yeah, thank you for coming, you know, into this conversation and supporting females and, you know, Nikki standing up to these comments and other women then saying, oh yeah, he blocked me. Oh yes, he did this. But it was just, you know, at that moment, I just felt like I had to take that time to acknowledge a male in the conversation. Hey. And so Carrie, again, I applaud you for coming into a conversation that this guy, you know, was being a complete asshole and said so many inappropriate things about males, females, that any female who liked sports, any female, like female sports was a lesbian. And that's just basically what it was, you know? So I just thought, okay, we're going to shut this guy down. And I'm glad that Carrie was on our side.
You know what? Let me just add one thing too to that though. Yeah. I think the fact that he blocked everybody shows right there that you won. You got to him. You know what I mean? And what makes it funny, not like the situation's funny, but like a,
right.
What makes it funny is this is a verified blue checkmark guy on Twitter.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like he's like a big account, you know, a big name account. I mean, what he does, I don't know. I didn't even really bother to read his profile, but I just saw that he had a blue check mark next to his name.
Oh, so. Yeah. Like he's got some insane amount of followers. And I didn't put two and two together when I heard the name. I was kind of like, how do I think I knew who this guy is? And it just so happened that I went to college in Santa Barbara, California. Mm-hmm. So that he's out there and he's doing this. And I thought, you know, yeah, again, like, I'm just not okay that, you know, you can do this, you can call me this homely hag, and you can tell me that I'm atrocious and whatever else. But, oh my God, like, what are you saying to other females out there? And fuck off. Like, you know what? And then to go and block, like, how easy is that? So,
you know what?
And I think my response when he finally blocked me was, I took a screenshot of it and said, I guess he was just intimidated by women who knew, you know, sports or whatever it was. But yeah, frustrating.
Sorry, go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think people that are like that, you know, guys who talk down to women like that, I think they have bigger, deeper issues, you know, within themselves, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
I think all that came out of this.
Little issues.
Yeah.
It's no different. To me, it's really no different than like, you know, a kid who's bullying another kid at school, you know. It's almost like you can't really get mad at the kid who's doing the bullying because it probably comes from home. Somebody at home is probably mistreating that kid, and then he takes it out on whoever. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same concept, the same premise. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, so. Absolutely. And you know what? If this was somebody who was 20s, 30s, or some millennial or whatever, I would have been like, okay, how sad for you. That this right. this is how you perceive things today. But let me just
grown ass man.
Yeah, but he's like in his 50s. He's on his fourth wife.
Right.
Exactly. And the other three wives prior to that divorced him for domestic violence reasons.
Mm.
So, you know, like really you want to be cocky and then like demean women on, you know, we don't know what we're talking about in sports, but then, okay, let's just go ahead and do the obvious that you're ugly. Really? You know, it's just one of those things that it was such a ridiculous, tweet that this guy did, and the amount of followers that he has that believed it and were like, hell yeah, you know, fuck my wife. I'm going to go to, you know, this bar because she's yapping in my face. And it's like, I really,
yeah.
Really, is that really what's going on? So
yeah, all that happened here was that he just made himself look worse at the end of the day.
That's it.
That's
right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I am always, you know, and Gil knows this, I'm all about shout outs or acknowledging people who are just awesome. And that's probably very much the teacher in me. And I felt like, you know, Pucker Up got their end of it. And Nikki was awesome to support me and in the Twitter stuff and acknowledging how wrong it was. But then to have a male Flyers fan.
Hey, stop.
Totally kidding. Come in and say, you know, like, how unacceptable this was to me was awesome. And I said, hey, next time, you know, Flyers Caps play in DC, I owe Carrie a beer and his wife or whomever you come with for sure.
Well, we're just debunking myths all over the place.
Women don't
belong in sports. Flyers fans don't have a heart or a brain.
Yeah, right? Hey.
Who is this? I know. So, Carrie, I feel like we have to give you I don't know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. I don't know, Gil, what you're feeling to say who you are and why you're a Flyers fan. Oh.
And hey, cue the Darth Vader music. No, you know, I mean, I'm just a guy that likes hockey. I mean, there's really nothing more to it. You know, I interact with a lot of people on Twitter, and actually, you know, a good majority of the people that I interact with on a daily basis are women. Knowledgeable women, you know, and whether it be sports, football, you know, whatever. I'm a ridiculously big supporter of Nikki and what she does.
Yeah.
I actually found her because there's two girls from Philly, Alex McIntyre and Brooke Destra. They run the Daily Puck, which is, I guess, you know, the Flyers equivalent of Pucker Up, you know, Pucker Up Sports. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're not affiliated, but you know, Alex kind of, you know, gave Nikki a shout out one time, and this was back when Nikki was running everything by herself, you know, and you know, I started following her and I saw her tweets, and you know, she was doing everything by herself, you know.
Yeah.
So I just kind of responded to something and said, hey, you know what, I support anybody who, you know, male, female, doesn't matter, you know, anybody who is, you know, trying 100% to succeed at something that they really truly believe in. And I just, you know, I just got behind it, and that was pretty much it. And then, you know, and then she started growing, saw that, you know, she brought some more girls on, and, you know, started following some more people, and, you know, they returned the follow, and we kind of go back and forth, and, you know, that's pretty much it. So let's go Flyers.
Well, right. Okay. So in the grander scheme of things, in all seriousness, this is what I was talking about last week. This is what I said. It's becoming more of a thing. There's no end to it. There's no way it's going to be stopped. We have more and more women becoming involved and offering very informed opinions of what they see both on and off the ice, on and off the playing surface. So this isn't something that's just going to stop overnight. You know, this is a trend, and it's going to continue, and they're eventually it's going to break through into, you're going to see a lot more journalists. We already have one here in DC that just won the Red Fisher Award, Isabel Kershudian. You're going to see a lot more of them on TV. You're going to see a lot more of them in the front office, on perhaps on the bench even. This isn't going to stop. It's a thing, and it's not going to be stopped, I don't think.
No, well, I agree. No.
And it's like I said yesterday, or, you know, before, this isn't anything that has to do with, no one is bashing males in the circumstance of saying, like, hey, you know, that you're commentating or you're reffing or you're doing this. No one is saying that that males don't know what they're doing or whatever else. It's just opening a door to say, you know what, females can do it too. Give it an opportunity. You know, we talked about the pay scales and we talked about this and that. But I will say, I was so floored when a week ago there was an NFL female coach on the field. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? It's who cares? Whether it doesn't matter if it's an all male sport, that the females can't know the rules and follow the plays. You know, the majority of the refs out there never played football, you know, so come on. So like, that's kind of where I'm at with this. It's like, don't make it, you know, some sort of pissing contest, because it's not necessary. It's going to be so much easier to just say, you know what, I support it. We're not threatening. We're not taking your jobs away. We're just making more jobs. And why not just do it? And there are sorry, that sound went really weird, Gil. I don't know if you hear it.
I hear it. I think we're gonna have to start to wrap it up a bit. Nicole and Carrie, I don't know if you wanted to stay on, but yeah, we're pretty much going to wrap up the show with the our weekly report from the Hershey Bears. I don't know if either one of you had any final thoughts about this particular topic, but if you do, good time, put that out there.
I just want to say thank you. Sorry. I just want to say a big thank you to Carrie. He's been extremely supportive from the beginning. Like you said, I was really overwhelmed doing everything by myself. I still am really overwhelmed, but he's always just been extremely kind and supportive, and I just wanted to give a big thank you to him for that. It means more than most people know.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't think I really have anything else to add. I mean, it's, you know, it, like I said, it's just, you know, guys like that, you know, give, you know, most guys, or I should say probably all, you know, guys in general, a bad name. And, you know, it just, it makes guys like me, like legitimate nice guys like me, look bad, you know, and that's where I take offense. So, you know, not all guys are like that. But,
no, we're not.
Yeah, we're not.
I agree. Liars are not.
That's totally right. Agree. I mean, yeah, it has nothing to do with, you know, team affiliation or anything like that.
It's not
just,
at all.
You know, about, it's just about being, you know, being decent and doing the right thing. And, you know, I'm going to continue to support Nikki and, you know, the girls at Pucker Up and, you know, the girls over on, you know, the Flyer side and whoever else, you know, so that's it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, yeah, totally. And Carrie, thank you so much for coming into enemy territory, as it were, and telling the story, and just for for manning up, for being a real guy. And
no worries, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And if you know what, you got an open invitation. If you got something on your mind, about the NHL in general, about, want to put it out there how the league is doing. Sometimes we wander into that kind of talk. So, mm-hmm. we ever get into that, you got an open invite, my friend. And,
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know what? I'll be more than happy to come on anytime you want to have me. I'll just have Anna extend the invite on Twitter. And I'll be more than happy to do it again. Absolutely. I had a blast.
Carrie, you're awesome. I'm so glad you were able to come out tonight. Like, who cares? Hockey aside, you're a stand-up guy, and we appreciate you. So thank you for your time. And Nikki, I am so excited to see you on Saturday.
Yeah, can't wait to see you this weekend. Thank you so much for having me on.
Have a good night. I'm sorry we kept you up so late. I know you got to be at work early tomorrow.
No worries. It was fun.
And Nicole,
talk to you guys soon.
Nicole, just one last word from me. Thank you so much for coming on and providing your valuable insight on a very unique perspective that really needs to be heard. And we really, really hope to have you on many more times, at least on our show and on our Facebook page. And on Twitter as well. So, okay. Yeah. That'd be so great, because we want to have, you know, I don't have time as much as I should, but I try to put the women's game out there as much as I can. I am a fan of the NWHL and absolutely love it when, the women lace it up for the USA come the Olympics. So can't wait for 2022 to defend the gold and all that, but yeah, I love it that we have a voice like yours that's out there representing that perspective. Thank you so, so much for doing this tonight.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for giving me a platform to speak out. It means a lot.
Oh, and you are always welcome.
Thank you so much. Have a great night, guys.
Okay, you thank you. Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Carrie. Okay, so that was Carrie from Philadelphia Flyers fandom and Nicole Giordano from Pucker Up Sports. Two new friends of the show. How about that?
Awesome.
Very awesome. Okay, so we're running quite a bit long on time. So we're going to jump over to Don McLaren's farm report. And wow. I kind of can't believe, I mean, I'm happy, of course, but I kind of can't believe what I'm seeing. If I can, I don't know what, okay, I'll just put it out there. The Bears are on a 5-game winning streak. Let me say it again. The Hershey Bears are on a 5-game winning streak. It has happened before. And I don't know. And you compare that to what the parent club did, that we're making two reflections into one, because right. It's like you're my mirror staring back at me. Because it's like you're my mirror staring back at me.
I get it. Just
staring
do
back
the
at me. Well, you don't like it when I sing.
I
so
don't.
I said the words this time.
You did, but it's getting late.
Okay. We'll get to it. All right. Okay. So Don's farm report. We start out. Okay. Bears were on the road all week. Wednesday game against the Binghamton Devils. You can't figure out who the affiliate is for that one. I'm not going to tell you. One zip win. Sproul gets the only goal in OT, no less, on a perfect pass from Scarbosa. And Samsonov was the winner. He gets his second shutout in a row. So he pitched back-to-back shutouts, making 16 saves. But hey, an SO is an SO, so let it be.
Exactly.
Saturday, Bears went to Wilkes-Barre Scranton to face the Baby Penguins. 5-3 wins. Scarbosa, Gersich, Barber, and Megna with two for Hershey. Megna gets one on the PP and shorthanded. Wow, nice. Samsonov in net for that one, stopping 22 of 25. Next game was the next day, Sunday, up in Bridgeport against the Sound Tigers. That's the Islanders affiliate. It was scheduled for Sunday, but they postponed it to Monday due to the weather. And so Monday being today, they played today, and they won yet again, fifth in a row. Barber, Ikonen, Scarbosa, and Garrett Pilon with the goals. Samsonov stopping 20 out of 21. He's on a bit of a hot streak. Outstanding in their field, the forwards. It says Barber and Scarbosa are putting up the points, but also says Jason Megna deserves an honorable mention. Let's see. The defenseman Sproul had a really good game. Aaron Ness had three assists on Saturday, also the plus-minus leader. And, of course, the goalie Samsonov, as I said, on a hot streak. 4-1-0 in his last five starts, seven goals allowed, .930 save numbers no matter where you are, and a 140 GAA. My God. Yeah, he's getting it done for sure. So, again, another silver lining. The Baby Caps, our chocolate soldiers, doing very, very well, if we're not, or if the parent club isn't. So, love hearing that. That'll do it for this show. And don't want to hold things up any longer. Let's just hope the PP gets better on the Caps end. So for our guests, Carrie and Nicole Giordano, and for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner On Point signing off and reminding you to cheer up. It could be worse. You could be stuck in underground in a hole full of water. And you know I mean well. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.